Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the end of the gospel lesson that was just read, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Some who have every intention of completing a program at Concordia Seminary and become a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will not do so. I don't say this in order to frighten anyone or to heighten the anxiety of those who are just beginning the arduous task of learning the biblical languages. I'm simply reporting what I observed over 13 years of being a faculty member here at this institution. Predicting the success of students is a very risky business. There are no telltale indicators earmarking some for success and others for failure. I was equally surprised by some who made it as by some who didn't. Which is why I find the account of the Gerasene demoniac so interesting and so fascinating, because here we have a man who is willing and committed to following Jesus wherever Jesus wants to take him. And Jesus tells him, "Go home." What happens? What happens if family circumstances and financial situations and academic reversals or a conviction in your own heart and mind tells you to go home? Now, among the many things we could look at from this account, the power of Jesus over demons, the witness that the demons give themselves to Jesus Christ that we would look at, I would invite you this morning to explore with me this potential disappointment. Because here we have a man who has no less reason, and probably more reason, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to be one of Jesus' disciples than any of us here. And yet Jesus tells him to go home. Why not have this man as a disciple? After all, he could be quite an asset. Unlike James and John, who must leave fishing boats, or Matthew, who must leave his tax collector's booth, this man has nothing to leave behind. To that rich young ruler who wanted to follow Jesus and Jesus told him, "Go sell all you have and then come and follow me," well, that'll take this demoniac about 2 seconds. He's got nothing to leave behind, only a lifetime to give to Jesus. And then think of the personal testimony. It is riveting. Think what this man could say as he would go with Jesus from village to village. This is better than a reformed alcoholic, a believing ex-con, or a lecher with a latent libido. This man was possessed, literally possessed. "I lived in the tombs. Nothing could hold me. I tore clothes from my body. They bound me with chains, but I tore off the shackles. When Jesus came before me, it wasn't even me who spoke, but the demons spoke from within me, saying, 'Why do you come to torment me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?' Jesus came, and the demons knew who he was and witnessed to who he was. And I was not a Jew. I was not even a Samaritan. I was the most unclean man in the most unclean place, and Jesus cleansed me." Powerful testimony. And isn't it ironic that we have just sung the hymn, "Come Follow Me, Said Christ the Lord," and then follow it with a text where Jesus says, "Go home"? We can only speculate as to why Jesus doesn't permit this healed man to follow him. Perhaps it was because, you know how Jesus sometimes told those who he healed not to tell anybody? It was going to be very hard for this demoniac to keep the messianic secret. Or perhaps it was that Jesus did not want the miracles that he worked to overshadow the word that he preached, and this man's presence perhaps would do that. Or maybe Jesus was simply being culturally sensitive. In reality, this man did not fit very easily into those who were following Jesus. Maybe Jesus saw that he would create more obstacles to the message than open doors. Maybe he was being culturally sensitive and kind in sending the man back to a place where his message would be welcomed and at least heard. Frankly, Scripture doesn't tell us why, but to whom he goes. Now I'm about to make the homiletical shift to the present and our own circumstances, but before I do, there's one more point that needs to be made. Jesus does not reject the services of the demoniac. He simply redirects where those services will be used. More than just return home, Jesus says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. How much has God done for you, for me? How much has Jesus done for you and for me? And lest we be less than Trinitarian, how much has the Holy Spirit done for you and for me? He has sent his own Son for you. His own Son has died on the cross in pain and suffering and risen again in glory for you. The Holy Spirit has washed you clean of every sin, given you faith in your heart, and given you an eternal and everlasting hope. And are we restricted at all from telling what great things God has done for us? Whether we are ordained or commissioned or merely baptized, are we restricted in any way? Did I say merely baptized? Oops. There's nothing merely about being baptized. It was in that baptism when our own demon, the old Adam, was drowned in all of its fury. And we found ourselves at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in our right minds. I'm not sure, but I may hold the record for leaving Concordia Seminary. I came in the fall of 1974 for one quarter and then dropped out. I returned in the summer of 76 and then left for Vicarage in spring of 77. I returned from Vicarage in fall of 78 and then left in winter quarter of 79 because I wanted to get out of here as fast as possible. I returned in 1989 to become a faculty member and then left again in August of 2002. I arrived this last Sunday evening, and you know what I'm going to do on July the 2nd? That's right. How do I explain this yo-yo-like behavior? I don't. I can't. But I can say this much for all of us. No matter the circumstances under which you leave this place, whether it is to go as a pastor to a congregation, to teach somewhere, in retirement, or to a specialized ministry, or even to go home, you go so that you can tell how much God has done for you. If you do leave this place in disappointment, Jesus has no more rejected your service than he rejected the service of the Gadarene demoniac. He is simply redirecting the place where that service is going to be given. And because that is true, there's another correction I have to make in this sermon this morning. You may have noticed earlier I said that there are no telltale indicators earmarking some for success and others for failure. Do you know why that is? Because there is no failure. Not when God's service is what we're about. Not when we have Jesus to tell about. May God continue to give you strength and wisdom, knowledge and courage to tell about this Jesus in every place that God puts you. Amen.